Welcome to 7 Second Delay, and we are now joined by Skype. Please welcome Andy Breckman. Andy Breckman, calling in from Thailand via Skype. Hello, Andy Breckman. Hey, Andy. Oh, hi, Andy. It looks like you dropped.
Didn't do anything intentionally. Can you call me back, sir?
Yeah, calling you back right now.
Well, very exciting. I'm online. I'm waiting for the call. Very exciting. By my standards in my life, this passes for excitement. I'm waiting for your call.
Should be ringing on your end right now.
No. I don't see it ringing. Oh, there it is. I think I'm going to answer.
Yeah, why don't you answer?
Because I like you, buddy.
I like you, buddy.
I'd love to hang up on my iPhone.
Uh-oh, this sounds awful. Are you there?
Hold on, my friend.
Oh, you are there.
Is this
there.
Better?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay, I was trying to do it on the front porch of my little house.
Oh, I see. Are you at one of those low-budget bed and breakfasts in Thailand?
No, I'm not. The signal is bad out there. I got to do it in here. No, we're in a very nice... we rented a very nice place. We're in North Carolina, Kitty Hawk.
Kitty Hawk! And it looks like we dropped you again. Oh, God. Ah, this is great radio, my friends. Andy Breckman.
Hey, Ken, I should explain my new policy. Maybe I should have told you in advance.
Yeah.
When I get bored with a conversation, even the slightest bit,
right?
I don't say goodbye. I don't say so long.
Uh-huh.
I don't say I'll talk to you later. I just hang up. That's my new policy.
That's going to make doing a radio show with you pretty tough.
Well, maybe you better work work up some more interesting stories.
Well, I hadn't even gotten to tell a single story yet.
I can't wait around all day, you know. I have a life. How are you doing, buddy? How's your summer going?
It's going great.
You're down at your little beach house a lot, right?
No, don't have a beach house, but
little lake house.
Yeah, little lake house. Yep. But won't be able to get up there for quite a while now.
I wish I had the nerve to hang up right now.
Don't. Please don't hang up.
Just to teach you a lesson. Just to imagine how your expression is changing.
So you're taking a week off from your big Netflix show?
I'm working down here. I'm trying to get some writing done. But this was the little getaway that Bethy and I had on the calendar for a while. So we didn't want to cancel it.
Yeah. What did you do with your kids?
Holy moly. Hold on. Honey, the kids.
Wait, did you just leave them at home?
The kids. No, I remember now. The kids are at camp.
Ah, okay. Computer camp for Evan, I'm sure, right?
Evan's going to computer camp and Molly's going to sex camp.
Sex camp. Ah, see, yeah. I got her confused. I thought you were going to sex camp.
She hates it. That's what's so horrible.
Well, I'd imagine so. How expensive is it to send a girl Molly's age to sex camp?
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
They pay her.
They're paying her to attend sex camp? What
Room
is that?
And board and $400 a week.
So
I don't
that
know anything kinda, about it.
That kind of makes...
It's a guy named Mr. Gonzalez runs it. I don't know much about it. Look, the point is Beth and I have a week off. We're empty nesters.
This kind of makes you a pimp.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. little bit, Kenny. Hey, so guess what? I'm down in Kitty Hawk.
Uh-huh.
And you know where we went today? We went to see Kills Devil Hill. We went to where the Wright brothers flew made their first flight.
Yeah, what do they have going on there? Do they have plaques and stuff? Do they have a model of the original airplane?
They do have plaques. If you love plaques, you'd be in heaven.
How do they keep them?
Plaque lovers. Plaque lovers from all over the world come to this national park.
How do they keep the plaque sand free?
You want to hear something? No, I'm serious. There's not a lot of sand. They've planted grass where all the sand dunes were.
Why?
Well,
the plaques.
They didn't want it to erode. They wanted to put a giant heavy monument up on the top of this sand dune, you know, where they were launching all their glider flights and their experimental flights. They wanted to put a giant monument up, but they couldn't do it on a sand dune, so they planted grass, and now it's a big grassy hill. You can climb to the top of Kills Devil Hill and look in any direction and not see sand.
When do I get to hang up? You're talking about sand and grass.
You're a little bored. Hey, but this might interest you. The tour guide, apparently the tour guide's a fan of FMU and our show in particular.
Wow.
I mean, she was talking, I can only suppose, she was talking about Orville and Wilbur.
Uh-huh.
And she was talking about how Orville did most of the work, and he was the real creative one, and mostly it was his vision. And, you know, Wilbur was just sort of hanging on and sharing the glory. And she said, and I couldn't believe it. I almost fell off my chair. She said he was sort of the Ken Friedman of the team.
The Wilbur. And, Wilbur Wright.
Wright, yeah. And I just couldn't believe it. I was flattered, of course, because it was a reference to our show. But I felt bad for you because you were being used as a negative example.
Right, right.
I had mixed feelings.
Well, thanks for passing that on.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we have fan down here.
Yeah, I guess I'd rather.
At least I do.
I'd rather be compared to Wilbur Wright than Dick Smothers, I guess.
Wilbur Wright did a lot of. He was there. Wilbur Wright was there. He encouraged his brother.
So you're the Orville.
Then she was very, very helpful.
You're the Orville Wright.
Wilbur Wright, in his own little way, changed history, buddy. Nothing to be ashamed of.
But you're
and
the
Orville.
You're the
you know,
Orville,
Orville,
right?
Kind of like me. I'm the guy that took flight.
You're the technician. You're the brains.
The guy that made it work. You were sort of. You know how like in bike races, one racer will draft behind the other. You know, I guess that was what Wilbur was doing.
I guess I
think I'm going to call you Wilbur. I think I like that for you, Wilbur Friedman. You can call me Orville.
I'll call you Dick Breckman for Dick Smothers.
Hey, we have a pretty good show tonight, though. We have not a bad sort of idea, right?
We have an idea.
Well, that's something. It's something. At least we're in there swinging.
Yeah.
You know, this is inspired by my observation that movies get a lot of things wrong. There's a few differences between real life and movies. One of them that's always bothered me is... When people have nightmares and they wake up suddenly from a nightmare,
uh-huh.
They always bolt up. They always bolt upright. They sit up in bed. And I don't think that's how real people wake up ever, even from a nightmare.
Absolutely not. No, I lay leisurely, flat on my back, screaming my head off.
Exactly.
Never sit
exactly.
up.
Exactly, me too. Yeah. And... And another difference between real life and the movies is in the movies, people win arguments. You know, a character can have a – I guess it's true on TV too. They have a passionate monologue, a passionate speech on some subject. And everyone in the room falls quiet and nods their head in agreement. And even people that disagreed with them earlier are persuaded and have to begrudgingly concede the point. So – I've never experienced that in real life, where somebody argues a point and the other person in the room is persuaded. It's been my experience that people just dig in, and then it becomes very personal. You know, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. I can't talk to you. I'm leaving. And then doors are slammed. I mean, isn't that how most arguments end?
No, it ends with people calling one another Nazis and Hitler.
Yeah, yeah, that's how. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly how.
Not stupid.
Yeah, that's exactly how the Nazis started in Munich. So that's, yeah, you hear that a lot, and all these. Also, there's a lot of ad hominem sort of arguments, like why should I listen to you? You're the guy that said in the year 2000 that the Y2K bug would destroy, you know, would collapse the economy. You know, they bring up something that you got wrong 18 years ago.
So you've never won an argument.
I've never won an argument, and I no longer even try. But now, have you ever won an argument?
One time, yeah. I used to feel exactly as you feel, but then I served on a jury. I tried hard as hell to get off the jury, but somehow they put me on the jury anyway.
I can't even imagine.
And it was a child molestation. Ironically, talking to you about a child molestation trial.
Oh, it might have been Mr. Gonzalez's sex camp.
It might have been. It was a guy who molested his two children, his two young daughters. Yeah. And to me, it was quite clear that he was guilty. And it was an 8-person jury, 2 alternates. And we played by the rules. We sat there for a week or 8 days or something.
Dear God.
Listening to all the testimony. And we had lunch together, and we all got along really well. And we were very careful not to discuss the case at all. And I just assumed, like, oh, this is a slam dunk. As soon as we start discussing this, we're putting this guy away. And then the time came to discuss the case. And me and this other woman were the only two people out of 8 who felt that he was guilty. And she spoke up, and she was just really insulting and condescending to everybody on the jury. So everybody hated her. And then I realized, like, oh, my God, I'm the only one. I'm the only chance to put this guy away. So I worked and worked and worked. And it was like 12 angry men. And
we worked on each one individually, one at a time.
Well, I was able to convince maybe half of the holdouts right away, and then just had to like work at the remaining like 2 or 3 people. And we put him away.
Hey, I just heard that guy's getting paroled next week, and I hope I didn't overstep any boundaries. I invited him to sit in on the show. He'll be coming to the studio.
He was actually paroled already.
He was.
Yeah,
oh, good.
He opened up some kind of sleepaway camp somewhere.
Mr. Gonzalez is sleepaway camp.
I don't think his name was Gonzalez. It
probably wasn't then.
Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Fernandez.
Yeah.
No, you're close. You're close.
So I guess, you did win that argument. Although,
yeah.
In a way, I would argue it's not quite fair. It's not quite the same because you were in a closed room with people, and they had to engage with you.
True.
Nobody could storm out angrily and just shut the door.
But we did have to argue. I mean, it was a matter of arguing. People were like, "Well, there's no physical evidence." I mean, that's what.
But somebody in that room was going to win the argument. I think it's an artificial example.
No,
I don't think. I think in real life. You know, in real life, when you're sitting around in a bar and politics comes up or somebody mentions abortion or something, in real life, no one has to stay in the room. No one has to see it through.
True.
Well, here's my question. So the question on the table is, have you ever won an argument or witnessed someone winning an argument? And why don't you give the phone number? Because I just can't retain all those digits.
You really can't. That's not a joke. Like you really.
There's a 7. I know that.
No,
wait,
there's
917.
There's no 7.
Let me see if I can do this. Wait, hold on. It's been 30 years with you. 917. That's correct, isn't it?
No.
It's not. Oh wait, oh, that might be Beth.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
We're in New Jersey.
Hold on, wait, I can
That's
do
a
this.
Hint.
Hold on.
We're in New Jersey.
I'm keen to do this. Wait. Okay, let me just get a running start.
Let's see if somebody...
Hey, guys, why don't you call us? Our on-air number is 201?
Yeah.
201-917?
No.
201-445?
No, 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 it's 2... Can a listener...
The next digit.
How about a listener calls us on the on-air number and tells Andy what the number is? Andy, do you have a pen and paper?
How could they do that? Don't you see the logical flaw in that plan?
No, there's
We're not giving them the number.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Normal people can remember the number.
201 5 is it a 5?
No. Nope.
5?
Let's prove this to Andy, that there's a lot of listeners out there who remember the on-air number. No, they don't even have to write it down. They don't even have to write it down. They remember it. Somebody call right now.
I helped them. I gave them the head start with my 201. Nick, I did the heavy lifting.
Nick the Bar, don't screen this call. I want somebody to call the phone, the on-air phone number. Here we go.
Ken, no one will call. Ken, they can't.
Hi, you're
I haven't given out the number.
You're on the air.
It's not possible.
Hi, love the show.
Hey, will you tell Andy the on-air number?
Yes, Andy, the phone number, if you'd like to call in, is 201-209-9368. That's 201-209-WFMU.
Now they say it, of course. Wait, hold on. I got to write this down.
Yeah, write it down.
Now it's too late. It's already been 4 seconds.
And 201-209-9368. Or something like that, 9368.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to make it easy. By having very, very similar numbers.
Actually, what you picked is the most difficult 10 digits to remember.
Is this Sam?
Yeah.
Hey, Sam.
Very good.
Sam, have you ever won an argument or witnessed someone actually winning an argument?
I can't hear Andy. Is he talking?
Oh, I know it sounds like an insect buzzing. But no, listen carefully and you might be able to make out some words and thoughts.
Wait a minute. Oh. You mean I can't speak to our callers on this show?
Okay. No, you can speak perfectly fine.
But they can't hear me.
No, they can hear you. It's just that it all becomes a garbled mess. It's just all a confused, zigzagging, and it can become painful. I think that's what Sam is saying. Right, Sam?
Yeah.
Sam, have you ever...
He's not in the studio, is he?
No, he's not.
I'm as far from the studio as I can get.
Which is Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Actually, the town I'm in is Duck, D-U-C-K, Duck, North Carolina.
So, Sam, have you ever won an argument?
I guess not. I don't know.
Thanks for calling.
I think people are saying slowly over time, sort of wearing them down, but it was never one argument that did it.
You mean you just force them to just surrender,
but
to give up?
I literally
up.
Can't hear anything Andy's saying, so...
Oh, come on, man. This sucks.
No, Andy, he's speaking metaphorically. He can hear you.
Wait, is this better?
Oh, oh. Now I can.
There we go. Well
now
done,
you
Andy.
Can?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy, it's like night
all
and...
All I did was flip my headphones around.
Oh, it's like night and day.
Great.
You should have done that earlier.
I should have.
Why would you sit there and not flip your headphones when it's so simple?
Next time I'll know to flip my headphones earlier. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Love the show.
Bye, Sam.
Bye, Sam. Wait, so why did Sam call? Just to prove he remembered our phone number?
Yeah, and that you didn't.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
A little. It's the best I can get.
Wilbur, you are fantastic.
Thank you, Dick.
Little Wilbur Wright.
No, Wilbur Friedman.
Little Wilbur Friedman. Why don't you go fly that airplane, Orville? I'll just stand here and talk to the reporters. Little impression of Wilbur Wright.
Yeah, Wilbur, he was only about the publicity.
He was the PR guy.
I think he ran the bicycle shop back in Ohio, which funded the whole airplane thing.
He was in charge of putting the bells on the handlebars. That's all they trusted him with. He was very slow.
I think you're I think you're being very unfair to Wilbur Wright. I think
Well, of course you would think that. Doesn't surprise me.
I think Wilbur Wright played a much, much larger role than what you're articulating.
Look, I can't imagine riding my bike without a bell, without a good bell. I see your point, Ken. Very well taken, Ken.
So the phone number is 201-209.
Wait, I'll do it.
Okay, you wrote it down?
I did.
Okay, good.
201-209-9368. What I need from a listener is a mnemonic device to remember this stupid number.
Okay, well, 201 you can remember because you kind of...
I can't remember that.
You remembered it already.
Okay.
Right.
Get me the 209. Well, 20, the first two digits are 20. And that is an age that I used to be.
Yeah, but you need something visual to help you remember.
So 20 is 20, and then 9 is the number of toes I have plus within 1.
Now, this is not going to help you remember.
Well, so far it's good. So 20 and then 9. And then 93. 1993 is a year. I believe that's the year you and I first went on the air.
Close. Close enough.
It's close enough. And then 1968. 68 is the year I finally ended the Vietnam War.
But the Vietnam War didn't end until 1975.
I told my kids I ended the war in 68.
Okay, so that's the year you told your kids that you ended it, but it didn't really end.
So 20 is an age I used to be. 9 is the number of toes I have, or close enough, the neighborhood. 93 is the year, roughly, you and I went on the air. And 68 is the year I... 68, I was kicked out of the Beatles. Let's just say that. I told my kids that. I told them that, too. Okay. Got it.
You got it? You got the phone number?
9368.
All right. We have a call, Andy.
Okay.
Mike in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
First of all, hi. How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you, Mike?
Oh, man. Let me tell you.
First of all,
I just want to thank you for, choosing a phone number that... use the numbers between 0 and 9 because that makes it a lot easier.
No problem.
Yeah, we didn't make up any numbers. We use pre-existing numbers, and you're right. It makes the remembering it a lot easier. Mike, do you agree
really
with me that Ken's little story about winning an argument is not really winning an argument?
What?
It can't count. If you're in a locked jury room.
Well, what about hung juries? Those happen all the time.
Oh, I see. A hung jury would mean that you didn't successfully persuade anyone.
Right. Or that
are we allowed to talk about hung juries on the air?
Yeah.
Not sure. Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. You know, it's like, think about any time that you've won an argument because, you know, you're arguing about something that may or may not happen. And then it does happen and you're proven right. What I've found is that, you know, so in that sense, you know, what you are is you are vindicated that, you know, maybe something bad, you said something bad was going to happen, and the bad thing happened. That never really feels that great to be vindicated in that way, does it? I've always found that being vindicated never feels as good as you think it's going to until it actually happens.
Now, have you ever had anyone contact you and say, you called it. You were right. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
No, but that's the other. Well, you know, I mean, if it's just smack in your face, you know, like, oh, hey, that roof is going to collapse. Like, no, it's not. And then the roof collapses. It's plain as day. You know it. They know it. But yeah, you're right. Do they admit it? Will they admit it? No, they'll come up with an equivocation. They're like, oh, well, you know, it could have been, you know.
Well, I guess friends play by different rules than spouses. I guess spouses have to. A marriage can't survive really if the spouse doesn't step up and say you were right, you called it, I was wrong.
Yeah, and then and the spouse that was actually right, you cannot then slam dunk it. You have to simply quietly accept.
Yeah, and then just you wait a couple of years and then call a radio show and gloat over the air like you're doing now. That's the only real.
I think when the roof collapses, it doesn't count because I mean, you have to win the argument before it becomes completely inescapably obvious. Like if you're saying that roof's going to collapse and the other person says no, it's not, and then the roof collapses.
What you need is to have the argument, is to have the roof collapse during the argument.
Right.
That's the
exactly.
Slam dunk.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The extreme
that's
scenario.
Like
that's where plastic explosives come in very handy.
Yeah, that's where your friend who does special effects work on movies comes in handy.
Right.
Exactly. No, you're both totally wrong. Completely
You're a Nazi.
That's how you do it.
Exactly.
Bye. You're a bigger Nazi.
So long, Hitler. All right, the phone bank is empty. Phone number is, oh, Andy, what's that phone number? Don't look at your notes.
If somebody calls you Hitler, you know what a nice retort might be?
What?
To remind them that Hitler and Eva Braun took in stray dogs.
Did they really?
Yeah, they took in stray dogs. They love stray dogs.
Uh-huh.
Rescue animals. So when you call me Hitler, you should remember that. He wasn't all bad.
Just bad to humans. Good to dogs, bad to humans.
Well, it's just something to completely derail an argument. Because I guess there's no real response to that.
Well, you know what,
the
internet has changed arguments, actually, because now there's records. Like, you know, email creates a written record of what people say, and
They can't deny they said it.
Right. But I hate that. I can't stand that. Even when I'm in the right, when somebody says, like, you never told me that, I can't stand, like, it's just so horrible to dig up the email and then send it and say, well, see, here it is. It just feels awful to do that. Even when you're on the right side, it just, I don't know, there's something about that that really bothers me. It's like that, did you ever watch Black Mirror? That British television show?
I've seen a couple of episodes, yeah.
Did you see the one where people could record everything that goes on and then replay it?
Just to win arguments?
Well, no, but there was a great episode about a guy who was convinced that his wife was cheating on him. And he was able to record everything and just, like, rewind everything, you know, when she was with her lover and, you know, and determine for sure that she really was having an affair.
No, I didn't see it. What was it about?
I just told you what it was about. What's the phone number?
201, 20, an age I used to be, 9, number of toes.
So 201-209.
Yeah, 209.
Right.
93, the year you and I almost met. 68, the year I moved in with John and Yoko and broke up the Beatles.
Oh, that was you.
But you pinned it on. Introduced John to Yoko.
You pinned it on Yoko. It was really Andy Breckman.
And so to recap, 201-209-9368. And the question is, have you ever won an argument? Have you ever witnessed anyone winning an argument? I'm skeptical. I've never seen it in real life. Except now that I'm saying it, I guess a marriage can't survive if you don't concede a point or two.
Do you concede points?
Well, I do. I pretend to.
Yeah, you pretend to. I've seen you do that.
Yeah.
You've done that with me.
It's so important to pretend to agree with people and to be persuaded. It's so important, Ken.
Right. It also doesn't, I mean, you're a boss. You have writing staff under you and
yeah. Well, so, when you're the boss, winning an argument is almost too easy.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count, and you have to actually be careful.
It's because, like, the roof collapsing.
Yeah, well, if you're wrong, no one, you know, people are reluctant to point it out. You have to encourage people to push back. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Do you do that with your writing staff?
No, I wouldn't allow that. But I'm talking about you.
What are you doing with the microphone?
Right now?
Yeah, it sounds like you're all over the microphone.
Okay, wait. Hold on.
Touching it.
Jesus, I don't know. Why are we doing this show? Why can't I have a week off?
Because I'm going to...
Why won't you let me have my week off? I'm here with my wife. Well, I'm missing the sunset. The sun is setting.
Yeah, over the grass dunes.
We're on some bay or something. We can see a sunrise to our left and a sunset to our left and a sunrise to our right.
It sounds beautiful.
It's a little strip. I'm told it is. I can't tell what's beautiful or not, but Bethy assures me it's quite beautiful.
Well, Andy,
I can only trust her.
We have another call.
I don't believe that.
Natalie in Philadelphia, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Natalie.
Hey, Natalie. You love the show.
Yes, I love the show.
Hey, thanks,
for letting
Natalie.
Me know. I when I was in high school, I started a debate club. And so I frequently got into very structured arguments with my young colleagues, and whoever won the debates was the one who kind of got the most votes. And since among the rest of the nerds, I was the popular nerd for starting the debate club, I would get the most votes.
It was because they liked you.
Wait, I'm sorry. Mean after the debate, people voted on who won?
Yes.
But it turned out to be more of a popularity contest than real scorekeeping.
Right. It emulated American Democracy.
Yeah, well,
I guess it did. Yeah. People were comfortable having. They could imagine having a beer with you, and hanging out with you.
Beer.
And then, what do you do for a living now, Emily?
Natalie.
Natalie.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay, Natalie. It's not okay.
I called her by her affectionate nickname. Her closest friends call her Emily.
No, you got the second half of her name right. I got to hand it to you.
Ali. Say anything loud enough and I'll answer.
That's the most important.
So I work for the Labor Federation, so I kind of debate on a regular basis now.
So you're still arguing.
Who do you debate?
I debate people who are anti-union.
The bosses.
Every single day.
The masters, the bosses.
The bosses from across the table, yes.
Yeah. Oh, so you're actually in like union, you're in labor negotiations.
Kind of. I work for the Federation of Labor, so.
Are you a lawyer?
Like the United Nations of unions, so now all the unions argue each other, and I have to moderate it.
Are you a lawyer?
No, I'm an organizer.
But nobody wins those arguments. I mean, that's they're just positioning themselves, and it's a negotiation. It's you're just finding common ground and positioning and holding position. You're posing. Don't you feel in those things? Does anyone ever just concede a point, like just on principle?
Kind of. I feel like I've confronted a few people who are just like, you know what, I don't feel like talking about this, and they walk away.
You mean that's their way of conceding that point?
Yeah, I guess so.
But they walk.
If you're in negotiations, you just hand the paper back and be like, okay. That's fine. You win this one.
But it's a tit for tat. I mean, they're expecting to win the next one.
Right.
I mean, it's all part of the negotiation. I guess that's like a marriage too, in a way.
Yep.
Beth and I agree to we alternate winning arguments, and we've agreed on that, and that's how we do it.
Good.
You go
even if you're so totally right.
You go back and forth.
Well, yeah, like, honey, this is my turn. I'm right. We just take turns being right.
Do you ever
otherwise, how do you know? If you don't have a schedule, how do you know who's right?
Well, do you, like, let her win an extra argument on her birthday or anything?
Yeah, happy birthday.
Even if you're so wrong, you'll be like, no, it's okay. Hitler had dogs. So.
Hitler?
I win
Hitler brought in stray dogs. You got to give him that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thanks, Natalie.
Phone number here is...
Or rather, Emily.
No, it's Natalie.
The best friends call her. The phone number here, may I do this, Ken, is 201-209-9368.
Wow.
And we're talking to people who have either won arguments or seen someone win an argument or have come close to winning arguments.
And I guess you and I are pretty much on the same side. We feel that people really don't win arguments. We feel that generally whoever, if you're arguing in front of other people like a jury or, you know, a debate club, it always comes down to just whoever is more well-liked.
Well, if it's structured like that, I guess that's not quite what I'm talking about. I'm talking about out in the wild, in the real world.
Right.
With people you're not married to.
Yeah. I guess when I served on the jury that put away the child molester, I wasn't even thinking I was going to have to argue because I'm so defeatist about arguments. I just felt like there's no way I'll be able to convince anybody of anything. You can never convince
And what tactics did you use? when you were dealing with your fellow jurors?
Well, the most effective argument that I came up with was the fact that when he married his wife, she was 13 years old. So I was able to say, like, he likes young girls, you know. He married his wife when she was 13, and he was, like, 25.
Wait, is that legal?
Is that legal?
Can you marry a 13-year-old girl?
He was able to marry, yes, he was able to marry a 13-year-old girl where he got married.
Was that in the States?
No.
Okay.
Not in the United States.
Was that in Thailand?
No. No, this was long before he set up the sex camp. No, this is...
Wait, you mean it didn't even occur to people that might be an important factor in their deliberations until you brought it up?
Right.
Right. God.
Yeah, and his wife testified against him. The two daughters who were molested testified against him. And yet everybody was like, I don't know. There's no physical evidence. I don't want to be responsible for putting him in jail.
That's your impression of juror number 7?
Yeah. Yeah. Only more so. Hey, we have another call, Andy.
I wish I could be on a jury.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I don't know why.
No, I've been in the pool. I've been in the jury pool 3 times, and they won't pick me.
I was trying so hard to not get picked. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what I did wrong that got me picked. I was really trying hard to not get picked.
I don't know why did I not get picked? Maybe when I asked for a masturbation break.
Ah, that's a great strategy.
To get off the jury.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be masturbation breaks, won't there, Judge?
Well, Andy, we have another call. Larry in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Larry, Andy, I love the show. If you didn't start the argument, you can only win the argument by transcending it. If you started the argument, you're playing checkers, not chess. I won an argument with my doctor by transcending it. He was trying to argue with me about a treatment to get my case out of the way and he can move on to the next patient. And I said, I'm not trying to win an argument. I'm trying to evaluate whether I'm going to use the drug. And that brought him down to earth. I won his argument by transcending it.
It's like jiu-jitsu. It's like logic jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it's human. It's human individuality.
Make a note of that, Andy.
I'm going to transcend. The next time I'm in an argument, next time I'm in the trenches, the next time it's not going well, I now have a strategy.
That's a very wise strategy,
Larry.
Transcend
the argument.
Yeah, you frame the argument the way you want to frame it, not the way the person you're arguing against is framing it.
You pivot. You pivot is right. What politicians do.
Yeah.
You pivot to another subject or come at it from a different angle.
Well, thanks, Larry.
Okay.
You say, I don't think the voters in my district care about whether or not I molested those children. The voters in my district care about jobs.
Perfect.
That's how you pivot.
Yeah. You would make a great politician.
I'd be an amazing politician.
You would.
Thank you, Ken.
You would.
I've been waiting a long time for you to say that. Thank you, Ken.
No problem.
The world is poorer for my decision not to run for office.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, my platform of forcing employers to offer mandatory masturbation breaks, I think, would be very popular.
It would be.
It was a certain segment of society, but not a small segment.
Well, the great thing about the masturbation break policy that you've been promoting is that you don't have to masturbate.
What?
You can.
Oh, that's a fireable offense. What?
Well,
you're just taking advantage of your boss.
Yeah, but who would know? You go into the masturbation room and you can read. You can take a quick nap.
Yeah.
You can exercise.
Yeah, you're playing the system. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you come back out and your boss says, how was the masturbation? And you're like, it was great.
Yeah, but who would ever know?
Who would know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just take a nap.
Yeah. I would, you know, after a while, I'd say, why does Ken need 90 minutes in there? What's Ken doing? I would get suspicious.
Because I'm a 60-minute man plus 30. That's why I need 90 minutes.
Hey, no, this is fantastic. I'm so glad I interrupted my vacation.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, me too. This is great. Thanks, Ken.
Anytime.
How's that sunset going?
Anytime.
I asked if they could put it on hold and maybe do it a little later today, but they said no.
Well,
the sunset is locked in, and I'm missing it.
Sunsets these days around 8 o'clock,
I don't think
you're missing anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're in the same time zone we're in here.
I don't know if I am.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not in the same emotional zone.
You're in Duck.
I'm in Duck, Newton, North Carolina.
Duck, North Carolina.
Hey, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Nobody there. Nobody there, Andy.
That's just wish fulfillment. Sometimes you say that and a call appears.
Why don't you give the phone number?
And why don't you give the phone number?
It's 201-209-9368.
No. Oh, wait. Yes.
Yeah, that's the phone number.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the phone number. Andy's on vacation. Come and ruin Andy's vacation. Give us a call. 201-209-9368.
Well, you offered. You offered to Skype in. Have you ever called in
from vacation? Once. Has it ever happened once?
Oh, sure.
It has?
Yeah, I've done entire three-hour shows from vacation.
You have?
Yeah.
You mean your morning shows?
Yeah, I've done my entire morning show in the middle of my vacation.
That must have been crap. That must have been wall to wall.
Couple of times. No, I did it from a boat in the middle of the lake.
Oh no, that was a stunt. No, I challenge.
But I'm doing my show. It doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
My kids are at camp. I'm with my wife. This is a real vacation.
I was on real vacation too.
I could be playing mini golf or something right now.
Miniature golf.
Yeah.
You and your wife go without kids to play miniature golf.
I know. Best days home. Best days at the hotel. I go alone. That way I can lie about my score.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, 12 holes? 12 holes in one. Who would know?
All right, we got another call. You're on the air.
What are the odds of that happening?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
You love the show.
Hi. So the topic of conversation. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to go. My apologies.
That was my favorite call of the whole hour. Love that call.
That was a pretty good call.
That was great. Guy had real personality.
I think it was a woman.
Guy had, that's what I mean by real personality.
Yeah.
A guy with real, a woman, you know, a woman with that kind of charm and charisma, you say that's a guy with real personality.
I was dying to find out what happened, why she had to jump off the phone.
Very exciting, I know. She's obviously leading a very full life.
Scott in Alameda.
She doesn't even have 10 seconds for us.
Scott, you're on the air.
I got an argument with Andy right this minute.
Good.
How dare you slam on Wilbur's?
Yeah.
Wilbur's of the world unite.
Am I talking to a Wilbur?
What's the matter with you?
Your name can't be Wilbur.
His name's not.
Who made the first flight after a coin toss?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I happen to know that Orville felt sorry for him.
I happen to know that coin had two heads.
It was a double-sided head coin.
Well, there it is, right there. 3-second powered flight, December 14th, 1903, and there you are slamming on Wilbur's.
That's true. The first flight. Yeah, that's true. I think it was 12 seconds. Yeah, but that's true. We were just there today. It was very moving, very inspiring.
Remember when you used to be able to call up the library and they had a fact checker? Do you have that?
Yes. Before the internet. Do you remember that, Ken?
No,
isn't
I
that
never.
Like a different world.
I never.
Oh my God! It was fantastic. It was you would call the library, and sometimes they'd have to get back to you. You asked them a question.
It was crazy.
And it was great.
Crazy. And I was at work one time, and they got into an argument how old JJ was from Good Times. Remember JJ? And I remembered him from, you know, early.
Wait, do you mean how old the actor was, Jimmy Walker? Or how old the character
Walker.
Was?
How old he was. And everybody thought he was a teenager. I said, that guy's in his 40s. He's like 40 years old. And nobody believed me, so we called up the library, and he was 41.
I'm surprised when you called the library, Jimmy Walker didn't answer personally.
He was 41. He was putting books away.
So you won. Wait. So that was an argument that you won. I do remember calling the library.
I won that.
In fact, Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy made a movie about exactly that. It was kind of a John Henry versus the steam shovel kind of movie. Remember, he was coming into the research department. He was putting in a computer.
Adam's Rib.
No, I think it might have been called Desk Set. Do I have the right name for it?
Desk Set. That sounds about right. Yeah.
And but it was exactly that. It was when it was
the
Wilbur
one too.
On the cusp of that.
I grew up on the Wilbur one. I think I won that.
You know what? You won the Wilbur argument just now.
Oh, here's another one. Here's another one for argument. You never say but. You say and. And. You know, I like lemon sherbet, and also you like vanilla. So can we get lemon sherbet tonight?
Oh, I see. You mean you're not saying one is better than the other. You're saying they're both equal.
And. You don't say but. You say and.
I don't understand that exactly, but that's okay.
It's a way of...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you don't put up a wall. You put up a door.
It's a way of defusing the disagreement, Andy.
You put up a wall. So here's what we've learned so far today. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ken. We've learned to not put up a wall, to build a door when you're arguing with someone.
Yeah.
And then what did the other caller suggest we do, Ken? We...
Transcend his reframe.
And reframe it. We pivot. Yeah. Yeah, okay. We've learned a lot.
Wilbur, thank you for your call.
Thanks. Yeah.
And while you were talking to Scott, Andy, I looked up a little bit about Wilbur Wright.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who figured out how to create a wing that had lift.
Oh, that's so obvious.
By twisting it. It wasn't Orville.
Yeah, that's so obvious.
He figured out the wing.
You know what everyone said in the room when he presented that idea? Duh. You twisted. Everyone knew that.
But he was the first one to do it.
Well, Orville let him have that one.
And Wilbur was also the first one to fly. He was the first one to actually get on the glider and fly.
Yeah, I think I learned today they were alternating. They were taking turns. And
Wilbur
tossed a coin.
Wilbur went first.
He did. First controlled flight.
Yep.
You know what? I concede that point. You've won this argument.
Wilbur was also way better looking than Orville.
It said you even more than I did earlier. It hasn't helped our friendship. the fissure between us has just widened. Hey, you owe me an hour of vacation time, it seems to me.
You offered to do this. I didn't twist
you. I had to come home early. What was I thinking? I had to change my schedule today.
You had to come home from
my bike. I could be riding my bike.
From miniature golf.
Any golf? Putt-putt?
Yeah.
Putt-putt golf?
Yeah, don't worry. The windmill will still be working on the miniature golf course.
You know what the secret of the windmill is?
What?
Timing.
What is it?
Timing.
Yeah, yeah, right. You
have to time your shot.
Right, in between the blades.
You'll hit the windmill fan
right.
panel thing.
Yep.
It's a little secret. Oh, don't pretend you knew that.
Hey, man, I wish you could have been there yesterday. We were at the Pavonia Newport Center Mall doing our focus group.
Oh, I missed it. How was it?
It was great.
That was for the 8 or 9 billboard ideas?
Yeah, for the billboard Kickstarter video.
And now, are we allowed to talk about them specifically on the air, or do you want to save that as a
Yeah,
surprise?
I'd rather save that. But I did want to thank the people who helped us with the focus group yesterday. It was Ruth and John and Grant and Dan and Clay Pigeon.
Oh, fantastic. And, of course, yeah. Kimmy was is overseeing everything
right,
and spearheading
it. Kimzilla. It was really fun.
Oh, man, I wish I was there.
We had about 14 people in the focus groups, and Dan Boda
and
led.
Was there a clear winner, and did they have a clear favorite in the among the Billboard choices?
They had one that they really hated.
Okay. They rallied around that. I'm guessing that was one of mine.
That was one of yours. Yeah.
I'm guessing it was.
So we're talking about your dead mother on WFMU.
Oh, yeah.
They were very offended.
How about Caucasian Radio? How did that fly?
We didn't have the guts to bring that one out.
And by we, you mean?
Me.
Yeah, you didn't have the guts, yeah.
Yeah.
That must have meant there was a black man in the room.
There were 6 or 7 black men in the room.
I can imagine. Yeah, you lose all, your brain just disconnects.
But there were no Jews in the room.
Yeah,
so.
Also, how did the Jew-free, now 100% Jew-free.
WFMU, now 100% Jew-free. That went over very well.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Somebody in the focus group said, like, I don't have a problem with that one because that's not my group.
Exactly. That must have been one of your brothers that said that. Hey, how about my as unpopular as you are? How did that fly?
I don't know. I wasn't in the room. I was standing behind a one-way mirror watching, and then about like 45 minutes into it, they told me that they could all see me perfectly well.
The metaphor for our relationship. Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that if you really get a billboard up, I will be so proud of you and the station.
Oh, we're going to.
I think that's so great.
Oh, we're going to get a billboard up.
I am so proud of you for doing that. I just love being associated with that. That makes me so happy.
My favorite
billboard, I don't want to mention because I don't want to ruin the surprise, but there's one that is genius, a couple that I love.
Yeah.
And people, now when can people vote and contribute a few dollars to the cause?
Probably within about 2 weeks. I think we're getting pretty close to our deadline.
And I love how excited you are about this stuff because it's meaningless. It doesn't advance any, you know, it does no good at all in the world.
No, it does do good.
Nothing at all. Zero.
No, if it brings more listeners into WFMU, it does
exactly.
Good.
That's what I mean. I mean, it does nothing positive. But you're still so passionate and excited about it, like a little boy.
No, but I'm saying...
Like a little boy causing trouble, like a little boy dipping a pigtail in an inkwell. I just love it.
Well,
you're Dennis the Menace of radio.
You
just love causing trouble.
No,
I love you for that.
Dipping a pigtail in an inkwell is
yeah, like Huck Finn.
That's assault. That's assault. I'm not assault.
These days it is assault.
Yeah.
Look, just take a compliment. I'm saying I love it, and I love you for championing it.
But I'm saying it will help WFMU.
I know. That there's always a negative. You're always going to bring up some negative. I'm just saying it'll be fun.
I meant that as a positive.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, you know, people are going to tune into the station.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah. No, I know that. That's the whole point.
They're going to hear what you're broadcasting.
They're going to be stuck in traffic.
Yeah, I'm still saying it's still a good thing.
Staring
I'm still
at the billboard.
It's still a positive thing.
I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
I don't even understand what you're babbling about, man.
You're a Nazi. That's what you are. You're a
Let me remind you something about Hitler and Eva Braun. I'm not saying they don't have their flaws. I'm certainly not saying they were saints, but
they had a lot of flaws.
They adopted stray dogs.
How many stray dogs?
I don't know. It's a good question.
A couple?
A real history buff can tell you the names of their dogs.
I adopt stray dogs. I've adopted
exactly.
A lot of stray dogs.
So our own Hitler, our own local Hitler, also adopts stray dogs.
But whenever people attack me, you never bring up my stray dogs.
I will from now on. I admire you for that. And the billboard. And the great billboard.
You only bring up Hitler's stray dogs.
The billboard is your finest hour. I'm so proud of you.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. Let's not count our chickens before they hatch.
Fine. Hey, isn't it 7 o'clock, buddy?
Look out the window.
Yeah, the sun's going down. Can I resume my vacation?
No, not yet. Not yet, because the phone is ringing.
Oh, please, it can't be.
Somebody call so that Andy can't...
No, it's 7 o'clock!
Somebody call so that Andy can't rejoin his vacation yet. Phone number is 201-209-9368. Okay. The final word on arguments. Is it possible to win an argument?
Ken, it's 7 o'clock. Give it up, buddy.
No, it's only...
It's over.
No, it's 6:56.
Oh.
Yeah. How's Beth enjoying your vacation?
Beth is enjoying her vacation, and yeah. I'm enjoying my vacation.
Right, because I called you earlier, and you were on a conference call about your new Netflix show.
I did. I have been interrupted. I can't quite get away.
Yeah.
As much as I want. But we're having a very nice time. You know, we never really had a honeymoon back when we were married.
Why?
Beth was under the weather that week.
Oh my God.
So this is something we've been looking forward to.
What I missed what you said there.
That doesn't matter.
No, it matters a lot. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, so it's there's no winners. There's no winners in an argument.
No winners in arguments. You've never won one. You've never seen anybody win one.
No, like, there's never, like, you can argue about facts, and then someone can be right. I mean, in a way, but
yeah, that almost doesn't count. That's like when the roof collapses.
Yeah, so, I think being right about something is almost like cheating.
I don't see any winners, you know, unless you change someone's mind. If you can get someone to agree with you at the end of an argument, then you've won. But
another way to win is to
disagree or to argue for the sake of arguing. There's no winner.
Yeah.
Another way to win is what? To shriek?
To shoot them. To have a gun.
Oh yeah,
and shoot
them.
Them.
Absolutely. That's always a winner.
Yeah.
A win is a ticket for three hots and a cot.
There's a downside to it. What a great show we did, Ken. Fantastic show. Congratulations on the last hour of broadcasting,
yes,
Ken.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for phoning it in yet again.
No. This was fantastic. I'm so glad we didn't run a rerun.
Thanks, caller.
Of a good show.
Well, we will be airing a rerun of a good show 2 weeks from now because I'll be on vacation.
Oh, you can go to hell. And you wouldn't dare interrupt that.
No, I'll interrupt it. If you will come into the studio, I will phone it in.
Oh, that's a trick question. No way.
See, that's why.
For that.
Yeah, because if I'm gone, that's it. You take that as a reason to not show up. But 2 weeks from tonight, I will phone it in from vacation if you will do the same.
Something to think about. The answer is no, but it's something to think about.
Okay, let's think about it.
Okay. And we'll do this live next week.
Live! Yeah, we'll do it live next week.
All right, brother.
Okay, see you, Andy. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Stay tuned for In Real Life.
I gotta remember that. The station, WFMU. WFMU, okay.
Yeah, 91.1 FM.
Mm. Yeah, think 911. It's an emergency, you need to listen to your own music.
Yeah.
Hello there, lifers. This is... Wait a minute. We're missing somebody. Maybe we should do this again. We're missing Emily. Guys, we're missing Emily. What are we going to do without her? Oh, you know what? Ken ended up giving me this password to this... I guess it's a... artificial intelligence model of DJs. So in case DJs go on vacation, in case they get sick, he's been setting this up. So what I'm going to do is try to get this going so we at least have something that kind of feels like Emily is here. Emily, are you there? Oh, it's called MLE. Okay, so it sounds like we've got it going. We've got MLE in the studio, and I guess we're good to go. So, Emily, I think we'll start the show again, right? So, this is In Real Life with Kimzilla, and Emily, are you there? Oh no, Emily. MLE, are you there?
You are listening to In Real Life. I'm Emily.
And I'm Kimzilla. Welcome to another edition of In Real Life. So, as you can tell, Emily is on vacation, but we've got MLE here to help us out. And it feels kind of good, doesn't it? It feels like we might be in good shape here. So, it feels good, right, guys? Like we can control this thing. So, tonight's episode.
Episode,
I guess she's going to tell us. See, this isn't good. This isn't good. I don't think this was ready. Ken didn't work out these bugs at all. So we may not be able to use MLE.
I miss you so much.
Oh, well, I miss you too, MLE. I
love you.
Oh, well, you know what? You can't go wrong with MLE. I might be able to enhance this and have a show all to myself. This might work. This might just work.
Yes.
Well, she tells us. So anyway, today's episode, it's a real nice one. It was a little nerve-wracking for me, to be honest, because I'm doing a show, right, Emily?
No.
Okay, we're doing a show about going to the American Legion Hall. And if you want to know what that is, you're going to have to stay tuned a little bit longer to hear the details. But we went with two special guests, Becky from our radio neighbor, as you'll hear, and Mr. Fine One. So those two lovely DJs brought us up to Harlem and showed us a little bit about the jazz scene in the American Legion Hall. And it was a really great night, and I feel like there's some really interesting common themes that kind of run through tonight's show. And yeah, Emily, like it's really nice. We talk about food a lot because there seems to be always a nice common theme with all of our shows about
it's not that funny.
We might have to work on this MLE person, but anywho, what I'd like you guys to do is just hop on the message board, WFMU.org.
No.
Yes.
No.
Hop on the message board at WFMU, at FMU.org, and go to the playlists and comments page. And I'll probably show up once we get this going. But
I think really without further ado, I'd love to just jump in and then I can talk about just some of the details as we go along. It is weird not having Emily here. I prefer her here, I've got to be honest. It's that laugh, right? but we're going to have a good time. I'll let you guys listen and enjoy our ride, and you'll hear some friendships being started and some food being consumed and some music and, like always, a fun road trip with all of us. So I guess without further ado, why don't we go ahead and get started?
Okay, so this is Emily, obviously. I am recording myself on my journey to